Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We ploughed through all 20 clubs and what they did and what they maybe could do next season in the Premier League with Tom Rennie, commentator, friend of the show. We also chatted to the manager, owner, chairman, all one man, of Dorking Wanderers. They've got quite the story. Bunch of mates who got together to start the team and they now find themselves in the National League. We'll tell you more about that. We had some clips of the week pewter from 2009, so we'll chuck those in as well. So that's all coming up.
Lovely.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
What a marvellous last day climax it was.
It was fantastic. I mean, you were at a game. It's often difficult. The famous Aguero day, I was watching Tottenham, I think, lose that day. Or possibly draw, but it makes it harder.
It's great fun though. It's great for.
How were you able to follow it? You were at Brentford.
We were able to follow it because obviously all the apps and.
And you were hearing from the Leeds fans when Burnley, conceded,
well, we knew, and but the blokes next to me, I was following it on the BBC app, and the blokes next to me had something called Sofa Score.
Yes,
and they were so far ahead of me. I don't know what happened with the BBC. I was giving them reports from sort of like the 1930s. Okay, Association Football and Wolverhampton Wanderers have scored. Eric Dugan with the goal. I mean, it was ridiculous. I was so far behind.
So far,
them.
Yeah. Okay,
it's ridiculous. Me. So, but we were able to follow it. It was very exciting. I mean, you sort of watching that game but following the other games, it was brilliant, and keeping an eye on Chelsea when Watford equalised.
Oh yeah, I was thinking that.
For goodness
sake. We would have ended the season a point behind you on that basis. Just a point behind.
Well, Chelsea had a terrible second half of the season.
Yeah,
really.
Very strange.
Especially home season. They only won 9 games at home all season, so not good enough.
But
really.
Your little grandson had the chance to watch the lap of appreciation.
He's been to 3 games and he's seen 3 last minute goals. Two for Chelsea, 1 for Wolves. He must think football's fantastic. It's always like this. And they stayed for the, the players' lap of appreciation or kids on the pitch. I think they had a great time. So,
fantastic.
Yeah, it's always good. But, I mean, fair play to Liverpool and City. They are two fantastic. Nobody else wants to hear this, but they are two brilliant teams playing in the same era. And, whatever anybody does next season, they are, you've got to try Spurs, Chelsea and people like that. But it's going to be, you can't really see City and Liverpool not being either first or second next year.
Yeah.
It seems unlikely.
Does make
injuries
it very
make a difference, but other than that, it does look difficult.
We're going to be chatting to Tom Rennie, who's been popping up, of course, throughout the season with us, commentator and journalist, to look back over the season. We'll look at all 20 clubs, what they achieved, overachieved, underachieved, what they maybe need to do to do better next season.
It's all in the recruitment. Dance noticed what I noticed at Man City, the Man City Screamer.
Yes.
Really like the old Arsenal Screamer. Sure.
I think she was a member of the coaching staff.
She was next to Pep. I think it was her. Yeah.
Understandably, I think, in the way they won it.
But she wasn't quite. The Arsenal Screamer had this ability to be first to celebrate. Yeah. That was her thing, really. They always heard her. She always screamed before the ball even hit the back of the net. As soon as it left the player's foot, she had this sort of extra sense of when the goal was going to be
scored.
She
now works for the she works for UEFA as a technical expert. Because she could spot how often did the Arsenal Screamer get it right, because often the second pass in a build-up it'd still be in the opposition's half and she started screaming. She knew when a move was building that was going to end up in a goal against Arsenal. It was uncanny, wasn't it? Andy, you were telling me earlier on that why did you bring up the subject of Ed Smith, the former England cricketer and selector?
Because of the Savannah Bananas.
Oh, yes.
This is a bit complicated, but we're reading about a team, we might do something on this later in the week, a team in baseball, yes, in America who call themselves the Savannah Bananas. Mm. And they have various mad things. They're a bit like the Harlem Globetrotters, but yeah, for baseball. And they have a thing that if you're caught in the crowd, normally that'd be a home run or a six in cricket, but if you're caught by somebody in the crowd, that's out. I'm thinking, what a great idea, because I was once playing against Ed Smith and he was on his way to 100 and I was bowling to him and he basically hit the ball into the crowd. It was at the nursery ground at Lord's.
Yeah.
And the security guard took a wonderful one-handed catch. Wow. And so when Ed got his 100, I went to him, no, that doesn't actually count. You were actually out. He didn't really like that, but I sort of laboured the point. And said, look, it's a very small boundary. If that had been a normal ground, yeah, you definitely caught there.
Very sporting of you.
I know it was.
But I'd like the idea of being caught in the crowd and it counting. That would be fantastic, wouldn't
it's
it?
Good, yeah.
Yeah, that's the upside of fan involvement. Mm. So we may bring you a chap, the Savannah Bananas, who when they play go through a lot of quite intricate choreographed dance moves, don't they? As a team.
Yeah, they're incredible. No, it's very funny. And their home run trot around the bases is good. Somebody said to me yesterday, I wonder what Sean Dyche will make of all of this. You know, it's a good point, actually. What must he have felt?
Yeah.
I mean, presumably he wanted them to stay up.
Of course he did.
But on the other hand, you know, it would have looked like that was the right decision to get rid of him if they had stayed up. I was thinking he's actually might be, not my job, by the way.
Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport.
Sorry.
And it's a chance now to reflect on the performances of all the teams in the Premier League via their games on the final day of the season. We do that in the company of Talk Sport international commentator, broadcaster, journalist, and a man who's been with us quite a few times throughout the season in this slot. Tom Rennie. Hi, Tom.
I like to think friend of the show as well. That's what
we take that as read. So we thought the easiest way to do it was to look at every side via those matches yesterday. We have to start at the Etihad, City and Villa. I suppose from a City point of view, Tom, as Andy was just saying, it's hard to believe that they're going to have a dip when Erling Haaland turns up. They're probably strengthening other areas as well. And as Andy was quite rightly saying, you know, still next season, it's hard to believe that City and Liverpool won't be the two teams to beat.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. The only hope we've got really is that Erling Haaland's injury record is as bad in England as it was in Germany. If that happens, we've got a chance that somebody else might win the league next year. Look, it was incredible, right? It was an incredible final day. It was one of the best final days I've ever worked on. There was tremendous drama in it. And, you know, we very nearly got that Coutinho delivers the title for Liverpool thing, which we've all been teasing for weeks and weeks and weeks. So it was fantastic. But look, this Man City side, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about them. And we can't discount the sovereign wealth fund element, and who else could bring on someone as good as Gundogan for Bernardo Silva and Raheem Sterling from the bench to win the game? So, you know, fair enough, that has to be part of the conversation. But to go 2-0 down against West Ham last week, to go 2-0 down against Villa this week, and to have that ability to go up through the gears. And that 5 minutes, that frenetic, fabulous, incredible 5 minutes, you know, if you can just... I struggle with it, but if you can just step away from all of that for a minute and just watch it on a pure football basis, that was so exhilarating. It was so thrilling. And it's the kind of thing that only really Pep Guardiola teams can kind of deliver. You know, it was all on the line in that moment. And for them to get over the line and the winning goal, you know, Gundogan scores it. But that Kevin De Bruyne across, I mean, I said this to you a few times. A few years ago, when he was playing for City against Wigan, I remember Dan Byrne, who was playing for Wigan, said some of those crosses from Kevin De Bruyne were disgusting. And that's the word he used in his post-match. And that cross was disgusting. It was despicable. It was undefendable. Yeah. That's not a word. But you see what I'm saying. Mm. And it was just that it was great. The best player for me in the Premier League this season was so pivotal and crucial to winning the league on the final moment.
Quite a lift for the Villa fans today to sign. We're going to talk to Andy Brassel about him. He's already been tweeting that Villa have played a blinder with the signing of Boubacar Kamara. He's a really, really good player, a good money that they'll almost certainly turn a profit on when if they come to sell at some point. But, yeah, I mean, what about Villa overall in terms of the season? They've signed Coutinho, of course, on a permanent now.
I mean, it was a nothing season, really, right? The Dean Smith bit went on a little bit too long following what the fifth straight defeat he had to go. Steven Gerrard came in. He had that new manager boost. But at this moment in time, I'm not sure Steven Gerrard knows what his team is. Like, we hear from Aston Villa that they would like a quite substantial clear out this summer. I'm not sure many of these players are Steven Gerrard players. You look at the mistake that Tyrone Mings made for the winner. I think he's quite a poor defender. I think you look at the improvement of people like Jacob Ramsey. I think you see what Steven Gerrard wants. He wants people more in the Ramsey mold, maybe the Watkins mold, some real improvements Ollie Watkins has made in recent weeks. I think it's been clear for a little while now that it's Watkins, not Ings, that Steven Gerrard is going to want. Mm. And expect a lot of wholesale changes because there's a lot of underperforming players in that squad. I mean, people like Bertrand Traore and Leon Bailey. What is the point of these two guys, right? And I think Steven Gerrard would have come in and gone, you know what? You're absolutely right. Why have I got both of these sort of nothing, fancy Dan, no contribution wingers? What I want is hard-working, creative players. You have Buendia and Coutinho behind a striker like Watkins. That could really work. I think yesterday we saw closer to what Steven Gerrard might want, but I think they're a long way from being a Steven Gerrard team.
Yeah, and also just how, you know, the Premier League's so competitive, you do think, what's their ceiling, Villa? Is it top eight? It probably is, isn't it? Eighth, seventh, eighth, I would imagine. I can't see them being higher than that, but I might be wrong, of course. They've got to try. Yeah. Also, just as a side note for that, do you think that Emi Martinez might have got to that Rodri shot yesterday? Because I've got a feeling he might have done.
I completely agree with that. I think, you know, God bless Olsen for coming in. That first 20 minutes, how shaky did he look? Like, he could have conceded three or four in the first 10, 15. I think that when you lose a goalkeeper of the quality of Martinez, who I think is right up there in the top three or four in the league, you lose someone like that, you know, you haven't got someone of that quality to replace him. So I completely agree. If he was fit, then maybe we're talking about a different thing today. But, you know, if me auntie had wheels, you'd be a barrow, wouldn't you?
We'll have to up the speed, I think, to get for everybody. Liverpool Wolves, I mean, you know, Liverpool's still got a big game coming up, of course, at the weekend. Jamie O'Hara saying he was there yesterday, felt they're just looking a bit physically and mentally tired, but being able to rest players, big key players, may well help them. But what of their season? They really couldn't have done much more, could they?
No, I mean, they'd be champions in what, 20 of the last 30 years? You know, it's incredible to think they've got another year where they've just won so many games. They've got 92 points, which is a ludicrous number, and they're not going to be champions. So they have been incredible. I'd fancy them next week in the Champions League final against Real Madrid. I've been impressed for both their cup final wins. So I think the double is brilliant. The treble is on. But I think you could tell going into the game yesterday, it was a little bit, well, we might win the league and that'd be great if we did. But I don't think anyone really thought it was going to happen. You know, there was a lot.
2-0 down, I thought it was going to happen.
But it was, I think at that point they were like, right, okay, we might start, we'll get on the front foot here. But I thought it was going through the motions for a lot of the first 45 minutes or so. I think there wasn't a great deal of belief they could do it until the score started filtering down. But they are fantastic. They're a great team. I hope they're not broken up anytime soon. There's talk of Salah and Mane and all that sort of stuff. But the Premier League kind of needs Jurgen Klopp, because without Jurgen Klopp and this Liverpool team, we haven't got much. Mm. We haven't got much that can get anywhere near Manchester City. It's the brilliance of Jurgen Klopp and what he gets out of this group of players and the great squad building job they have done. That's why we're not the Bundesliga right now. because otherwise, if we don't have Liverpool, there's no one going to get anywhere near Man City next season, maybe the season after. And that's a worry. That's a big worry, I think, for people who want the Premier League to remain good.
And what of Wolves, who made a decent start in the European places and then just fell away? You're expecting a bit of churn there? There can be a new wave of Portuguese talent coming in?
I think they'll do well to keep Neves. A lot of clubs would like him.
Yeah, there could be a few on the move.
The issue for me for Wolverhampton Wanderers is that I don't know about this Bruno Lage fit with Wolverhampton Wanderers. I think they've been horrible to watch this season. They've ground out points, but they have been probably one of the most negative teams in the league. You know, they score a goal and they shut the game down. They concede a goal and in general, they get nothing from the game. That's been the story of most of the season, if not on Sunday. I think Bruno Lage is a very, very negative coach. He's a very much school of Allardyce kind of manager. And if this was a gruff northerner in charge, I think maybe there might be a bit more criticism of what Wolves have done this season. They've got some good attacking talent. Yes, they've not been as fit as maybe Wolves would have liked this season. Neto going off injured again early yesterday was a massive shame. But they've just been horrible to watch, frankly. And I think there's a few players there that might be thinking, should we go to like maybe a football team at some point soon? And people like Neves might be part of that.
They've got Traore coming back as well.
Yeah, that's true.
I think Spurs might have a look.
Could give him away.
Yes, and we should look at one half of Brentford Leeds before we head to the news and sports headlines. Let's start with Brentford. Andy, you're making the point that you think keeping Eriksen potentially and keeping Tony will be key.
Yeah, I think that's going to be difficult for both players. Maybe Tony more so. I think Eriksen. I don't see Eriksen there next season. I might be wrong.
A great season with a team with a pretty clear identity of a way to play in the league, which has worked for them.
But I do see him staying. Somebody said to me yesterday that his kids are enrolled in local school, he's got a house and blah, blah, blah. So I don't see him
most
necessarily.
Footballers have. They're quite rich, you know.
No, I don't see, but he's got roots. I don't see him not staying in the Premier League or in London.
Yeah, no, that's probably true. So Brentford, Tom.
Yeah, no, I think that the point made there was absolutely right. Clear identity, and that's something that we can talk about Burnley later. They don't quite have an identity at this moment in time. I think that cost them, but Brentford have got it, and Brentford have played their way all season. They've been very physical at times. They've gone long at times. They've played a front two at times. I know it was kind of a three yesterday, but they've had great link-up play between Mbeumo and Tony a lot of times. You know, if it wasn't for that terrible run of injuries they had December through January, we might be talking about a top eight, top six finish for Brentford, the way they've just, you know, at times this season, just switched it on at times. I know it was disappointing yesterday, but I think it's been brilliant. I'd like to see that them invest during this summer. I think it's not about sales. I don't want them to be talking about, are we going to keep him? That can be such a distraction to what's required to not have a second season syndrome like Leeds have just had, and that is build on what you've got. I'd be looking at bringing in some better centre-halves than what they've had this season. I like Ethan Pinnock, good long throw, but is he good enough to play in the Premier League? Christopher Ayer may be similar. I may be thinking about getting some support in midfield for Norgaard, who ran his socks off every single game. I'm not sure Eriksen will stay, but even Yoen Wissa, someone like that, he's done a great job this year. Next year, I wouldn't want to be relying on him if I was Brentford.
Let's talk Leeds and we'll squeeze Leeds in. I mean, a few of the Leeds fans in the build-up to this week were not having Jesse Marshall quite worried about the appointment. They have survived. So is he the man to stop happening what happened this season, happening next season as well?
Yeah, I think Jesse Marsh is a good manager. I think he's a good manager and it's a good fit because I've always felt like Jesse Marsh wants to play that attacking sort of style of Bielsa, but he added a kind of defensive organisation which wasn't there previously. Last few weeks, it's all gone off the rails again. And suddenly when you get to the last four or five games of the season, of course things get desperate. And he's tried some weird things like Rafinha at wing back. And at one point against Chelsea, they had like nine centre-halves on the field whilst chasing a goal. So it was very, very odd. But I do think that there was a long-term plan at Leeds to build a team in Jesse Marsh's image. I think that, you know, he could be a bit of a figure of fun for us, but, you know, I think he does motivate these players. They do want to play for him and he deserves a crack of the whip. And frankly, I'm not sure Leeds could do a great deal better than a project manager, which is what Marsh is.
Yeah, they're going to lose Rafinha, though, I think, definitely. Yeah. And not overtraining them will help because then they won't have the terrible injuries that they've had this year, which must, I don't know this, but you feel it must be something to do with the amount of work they do in training.
Absolutely. 14 more teams to squeeze in, and we'll be doing that with Tom Rennie in a few moments' time.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Tom Rennie is with us. We've ticked off six of the clubs. We've got lots to get through. Where should we go next? Burnley, Newcastle. We said we'd touch on Burnley. Let's do that now. We're going to have a chat with Kieran Maguire, the football finance expert, later on, Tom. And they're facing up. It's going to be difficult for them to bounce back, isn't it? I mean, what did you make of their season and how it unravelled in the end?
I think they just lost their personality. Like, we all kind of knew what Burnley were over the Sean Dyche era, the 8 years they'd be in the Premier League, and we knew what they would do. But across the season, of course, Sean Dyche got sacked, and then they lost Chris Wood and Ashley Barnes injured most of the season. They lost Jay Rodriguez for a long spell. And you look at the team yesterday, and you're thinking to yourself, you know, there was no Tchaikovsky for long spells. Ben Mee has been missing for a long time. Lots of little individual elements that make Burnley what they were have kind of gone this year. And then they were kind of left with this sort of husk of a team trying to go through the motions, do dice ball for the last few weeks. The not bringing a new manager in spoke of terrible mismanagement. You're going to talk about the finances shortly. Speaks of a terrible ownership model. I am worried for Burnley, but I think across the years they have been in the league, they haven't contributed a great deal to it. And I think at this moment in time for Burnley, this was their time. We're way past time for Burnley to drop back down to the Championship. They had a good run for some spells, but this has been an average season of poor performances, no personality whatsoever. And I think it's right that they went.
Second half of the season, they would have been fourth, which is incredible.
I mean, and you know, they're going to be spending a lot more money. We're going to see a different side. What can they realistically achieve? I suppose a lot of it depends on the recruitment, but where would you expect them to end up at the end of next season? Where should they be aiming for?
I expect them to battle for the top six next season, frankly. Mm-hmm. I think that what Eddie Howe has done, look, obviously they're definitely not owned by the Saudi Arabian royal family. We know that as a fact. Definitely not. No way. but the money that comes into the club from the public investment fund of where? Oh, Saudi Arabia. Oh, right. Well, for that money that comes in, they can't spend wildly because of financial fair play and those regulations. But I think that what Eddie Howe has done is taken pretty much the same group. You don't add Kieran Trippier, Dan Byrne, Chris Wood, and become world beaters. So he's a very good coach. He's got this team playing on the front foot, which they never did under Steve Bruce or Rafa Benitez or anyone that's been in charge there for years and years and years. He's harnessed the power of St. James's Park. What an intimidating place to go when you're being run at by people like Saul Maximan and Wilson and Almiron, and even Joe Linton running forward is pretty scary. Yeah.
The conversion of him has been brilliant, and Guimaraes has made a big difference too. So they're looking really good, I think, for the future.
Agreed. I think they're going to have a big future, and I think Eddie Howe is the right man to do it. You might have an English person in the top six. Imagine that.
Norwich capitulated yesterday against Spurs. So what of them? Do you expect them to bounce back this time?
Yeah, champions. Champions in 11 months' time. Of course they will be. I mean, with the parachute payments, the teams that go down get, what, they get the full money this year, 55% the following year, then 45-35. It's ludicrous what they get in terms of parachute payments. So every year, the Championship now, with all the financial issues there, they're getting a new Man City. Two new Man Cities drop in every single year. The trouble is for Norwich this year, look, they thought they built a Premier League squad. They did not. When they are champions in 10 months' time, whoever was in charge of making decisions, it was Stuart Webber or anybody, they need to not be in charge next time. You don't buy Ozan Kabak and Josh Sargent and all the nonsense they bought and think you've built a Premier League squad. They were either lying to us or lying to themselves. But either way, champions next year, and we can do this exact same thing in 2 years.
From Tottenham's point of view, those closing couple of months of the season under Conte, they weren't conceding a lot of goals. Some big wins, a big draw at Anfield, it transpired. So, I mean, you can't fault the job he did. A lot of the papers today are saying, yeah, he hasn't committed himself, but I think he wouldn't, would he? Because he wants a bit of leverage with the chairman.
I think Antonio Conte, I love Antonio Conte. He's probably my favourite manager in football because he's such a brilliant lunatic, and I love that about managers. And I think that what he's done at Tottenham is actually quite remarkable because he's made them very, very solid. I love the back three. I know there's no Romero right now, but Romero, Dier and Davis, the front three, Kulusevski, Son and Kane, and Bentancur and Højbjerg midfield been great. Lloris pulls out some good saves. In the summer, you buy two big ask, I know, world-class wing-backs to replace Sessegnon, Real and those guys, right? And, you know, you mentioned a couple of weeks ago people like Cucurella and Lamptey. Absolutely, I think they'd be better than what they've got, but you pick out the right people. I think Spurs could be in serious, serious business. Now, does that mean chasing down Man City? Probably not, but it does mean looking at a battle for a second with Liverpool, with Chelsea, and I think they're way ahead of where Man United are, way ahead of where Arsenal are, Leicester, West Ham, all those other teams that might think they can do it. I think Spurs next year here, keeping Conte, I don't think he'll care too much about the Champions League. I think Antonio Conte is a domestic league master. I wouldn't discount a title run, actually, from Spurs. I think they're really onto something with this team and this manager.
I agree with that. Yeah. And they do have to buy Kulusevski and Betancourt, having got them in on loan. Mm. So that will restrict them slightly. And so the chairman, you know, will have to back him, you know. And if you want two quality wing backs, like Tom's just mentioned, you know, you are looking at 50, 60. 70,
yeah, you would think so, yeah.
Oh, no. What's the point of having Antonio Conte there if you're not going to back him?
Like, yes.
He isn't going to be, he might stay, he's probably going to stay next year. He's not staying longer than that. Even if they win the league, he's not going to stay. That's not who he is. He'll fall out with everybody from chairman to doorman. So you've got to give him the money right now, and don't give the next five managers money, because I guarantee you, Tottenham, you ain't getting anyone better in the next five managers you get. So give it all to Conte now and try and win the league next year. That's what I'd do.
Two schools of thought on Arsenal, that they came up short when it mattered, or there's those Arsenal fans, I think Wrighty was saying a similar thing. He's seen development. He thinks Europa League isn't a disaster for a young squad that's still developing. So where do you stand on those?
They're underwhelming if you're of the kind of banter school of thought in football, and you can take the mickey out of Arsenal, which is always fun for everybody. But I think Mikel Arteta has done a really, really good job with Arsenal. He's taken away that whole, this is Arsenal Football Club mentality. Mm. There's no expectation or what we deserve or our birthright with Arsenal in this team. And I think he's moving in the right direction. The irritating thing maybe for Arteta was they were so agonisingly close to fourth. If they'd have spent the entire season seventh to fifth and nicked it on the final day, I think it'd be handshakes all around. Yeah. He's going in the right direction with that team. I don't think they're going to be in the Champions League mix, or indeed the title mix anytime soon, but I don't think they spend the money to do that. So I think fifth in the table is about as high as they are going to go anytime soon, but they're going to do it with a likeable, entertaining, developing, slow burn squad. And that's better than what they had before, which was just, you know, overpaid nonsense players occasionally delivering an FA Cup but not being happy about it.
Yeah, they need a bigger squad to cope with Europa League, and they could probably do with a Calvert-Lewin or somebody like that.
What of Everton, Tom? What about their chances of not being in the same situation again at the end of next season?
I wouldn't be particularly hopeful, to be honest. I think Frank Lampard, I don't think he is a particularly good manager, in truth. I've watched a lot of Frank Lampard teams, Everton, Derby and Chelsea, and I don't know what they are. I've watched maybe 50 or so games, most of our listeners would have done at this point. And what does a Frank Lampard team do? I've got absolutely no idea. I think he did the right thing over the last few weeks and just bring in the fighters and get rid of any of the fancy Dans or football players from the team and try and grind points out. So fair enough, he did do that. But next season, clean slate, who knows how much money they're going to have, but a lot of players have got to go, and then what players come in? I don't know what a Frank Lampard player is. I don't know what his identity is. I think at this moment it's a big experiment with Everton, and right now they're betting on Frank Lampard being a good coach, and I don't see a great deal of evidence of that. I can only see at best top of the bottom half next season.
Yeah, I mean, they're forward players. Anthony Gordon had a very good season. Richarlison, when he's on it, is excellent. And Calvert-Lewin, it's, you know, can they retain those three? If not, I think it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard.
I think
anyway.
Gordon will stay. Yeah. He's an Evertonian. I think he's committed to the club. Palace then, and the job Vieira's done, and how they can build on that. They're going to lose Conor Gallagher, which is a blow because he's been very good for them. But what of their future, you think?
I don't think there's going to be a great deal of change. I think there's a lot of praise for Patrick Vieira this season, rightly so. There's some fantastic wins, some great performances, and they were significantly better than Manchester United yesterday. Losing Gallagher is massive, but how far do you go with Crystal Palace without a massive cash injection? 48 points is brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. 3 points off ninth this season for Crystal Palace, but they're going to lose their best player. And once you lose someone like Conor Gallagher, they're almost irreplaceable when you lose somebody like that, who is the heartbeat of that team. So how do you find another heartbeat? You don't, right? It's going to be impossible to find. So he's got to find a new way of playing without his best player next season. It's a huge challenge, but I do have a lot of faith in Patrick Vieira. I think he's a very, very good coach who understands the game, but he's got to have the right people around him to identify the right players, and we don't know if he can do that yet.
Four teams to squeeze in a minute or so. I knew this would happen. We were always going to run out with 20 teams. West Ham, your lot, a bit of a disappointing last day. I mean, a good season overall. I hope the shine has not been taken off of it.
Absolutely gutting, but not to get into the Europa League.
Yeah, in the old conference plate, not ideal.
Yeah. Not ideal.
And I'll take the Conference League. I'm not bothered about that at all, frankly. West Ham have had, I think, maybe 10 top seven finishes ever, and they're 125-odd years old. So, you know, I'm not going to look down on that for a second. Another European run for West Ham is amazing. I'd more than take that. I don't care who we play, and if they get into the semi-finals again, very happy. But West Ham played 54 games this season and made the least amount of rotations to starting 11 of anyone in the Premier League. You know where the issues are. You know what the problems are. They're six players short of achieving what they would want. If they can bring in two players to back up Antonio, two midfielders to back up Socek and Rice, keep Declan Rice and bring in some better fullbacks, I think West Ham could do exactly the same again. Good manager, good team, but you can't do it with 12 players. You just can't.
Brighton's ever highest Premier League finished. I mean, fantastic for them. They will probably, you know, sell one of their big players, probably Bissouma, because they've already signed the replacement. So if they keep players and keep recruiting well, can they build on that, or have they found their level, you think, Tom?
No, I think it's all about being able to retain your talents. Like, I admire the business model of Brighton massively. I think it's fantastic in terms of what they do, and they give players a great springboard to other clubs. But there's got to be a point where someone like Brighton, someone like Graham Potter goes, actually, no, you know what? We're going to keep Kukurea, we're going to keep Bissouma, we're going to keep whoever else they want and really have a go at it. A brilliant football team, competent, confident on the ball, add a goal scorer to what they have. That's a potential top six team. I think they're so, so close to it. Yeah. But it's whether it's the business model or we're going to twist and try and do something. So it's a big summer for them.
And Leicester, what Leicester can build on next year? I mean, it looks like they're going to retain their key players.
They have a big advantage, that they're not in Europe. They're going to be kind of, you know, dangerous, I think.
Yeah,
I think they're a top four challenger. I do. I think that this season, the amount of games they played and the sheer volume of injuries they had at points this season, I mean, they've finished eighth. And would you say they had a good season? Nobody would. But they've finally got the team back together for the last few weeks of the season.
I don't see them as top
and it's three
four.
Wins and a draw. No, I challenge you, though. I think they'll be up there. I can see them getting around 65 points, and 65 points is usually just underneath it, but I think they'll be in that conversation all season long. Good manager, good players, some smart additions. They'll need to replace Tielemans, who looks like he's going. Do that, and I think they're going in the right direction. Everything about Leicester, they would have had such a better season if you just got rid of November to February, but that's probably true.
I think they might look at
year.
Pope as well.
And finally and briefly, Saints fell off a cliff.
You're not going to mention Chelsea.
Where does that? We haven't done Chelsea. Of course, we haven't done you, have we? Chelsea and what?
Best
well,
not.
We're running out of time.
All right.
Let's
here we go.
In a sentence, Leicester and Southampton. Give us Southampton first.
Southampton, big trouble next year. I think they could be relegation bound. Not a good squad. For Chelsea, massive summer of tumult, and a whole defence is required. And Watford, I look forward to them being second in the Championship and back in the league in 11 months.
I think we've covered. Anything you add on the Chelsea front, Andy?
Well, I don't know about a whole defence, but yes, two defenders, and they've got to solve the problem of scoring goals at home. They've got to solve that home record.
Yeah, but I said you've got a £100 million striker, but he's not been able to do it, has he?
No. That's because he's not very good.
Ah. And on that bombshell, Tom, it's been a pleasure chatting to you throughout the season. Have a good summer. We'll catch up with you next season.
Always happy to come on. Thanks, guys.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Talking of referees, a visibly moved Mike Dean as he blew the final whistle in his final ever game. Understandably, after his career in refereeing, but you could
fantastic.
See it was quite moving to see it.
He was quite sad to have to do Chelsea Watford.
Yeah, maybe that's why he was so upset. But I think, you know, I mean, we've lost some very experienced referees, and I think, you know, look, he's. Every referee at some point inadvertently has sawn us off, and there are vendettas against them. But, you know, he's been a great referee for a long time, and I think he'll be missed, definitely.
It's also the style of refereeing. The games that he's involved with is generally good because he lets it flow, and you know, he's not overly fussy.
Might be easy to replace.
No, definitely.
He can go and watch Tranmere, though, can't he now? Indulge, enjoy
isn't
himself.
He going to be doing VAR stuff, I think he is.
Don't know, is he?
I think so.
Good.
I shall stand corrected.
Anything else you want to talk about?
Yes. What have I got? Did you see the new royal coin with Prince William's face on it? It's a little bit of a football connection. It says here the coin was created by engraver Thomas T. Doherty. Doherty.
That's beautiful.
Born before the consort.
That would be beautiful, we're going to be talking to the good people at Dorking later on. We had a big weekend. We also had the FA Vase, which was between Littlehampton and Newport Pagnell. I didn't know Newport.
Who knew?
I didn't know anything about...
They're a service station.
Well, exactly. That was my first thought. It's clearly more than a service station. Okay, it's a service station and a football club. But I'd like to think they were the football club of the service station under their manager, Laurie Park. Yeah. It'd be great, wouldn't it? And you go and celebrate. What? How should we celebrate? We'll have a Costa. We'll have a Burger King. We'll have some M&S sandwiches.
Marvellous.
Fill your boots, boys. You know, you can't have a week in Newport Pagnell. You can't have a week in Vegas. But fill your boots in. They get the run of the service station like a supermarket sweep. Tell us more about Newport Pagnell. Forgive our ignorance, but well done to them, we should say. It was a big win. 3-0.
Very good, yeah.
Congratulations.
Neil Custis has been writing about Ralph Rangnick's time at United. He says, when things unravel at United, they unravel very quickly, and here we are. There's an air conditioning unit in the Jimmy Murphy building where press conferences are held. It's been 40 for weeks, making a clicking noise as Ralph Rangnick tries to explain why this club is such a mess. He said, we sit there afterwards typing up his words and listening to this irritating sound. It makes it sound like that's Ralph Rangnick.
Yeah.
It's an irritating sound.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
That classic misinformation thing go on yesterday at Anfield, didn't they? Jurgen Klopp said at one moment, I heard 3-2, and then for a second,
pitiful, isn't it?
We thought Villa had equalised. Who starts that? I mean, it's just terrible, isn't it? I mean, I've been there when that's happened.
Someone thinks it'll be funny to do it, and it's pathetic.
But if it's your team, I mean, why would you do it against your own fans?
Strange,
isn't mad it? Thing to do. But anyway, it wasn't to be.
More pitch invasions. To me, it seems point deductions is the only thing that will stop this. If you know your club are going to get deducted points, you won't do it. You just won't. And otherwise, it just becomes... It's funny how it all becomes a sort of trend, how they all do it.
Yeah.
And even you'd think, seeing the trouble that the bloke at Forest got into, you'd think City fans would realise not to do what one of them did to Olsen. It's just... crazy, absolutely crazy.
At what point does it become an invasion? At what point are you? I mean, if three or four people come over a fence, how many people constitute an invasion?
Well, I think a pitch invasion's got to be a substantial amount of people. It's got to be.
It's a pretty difficult thing to decide on if you're going to start deducting points. Otherwise, if you're a rival club's fan,
what else can work? Nothing else will work. They'll just keep doing it. You can't. Stewarding won't work. So I can't see what else works other than that. It would serve as a real deterrent, I think. But we'll see.
When people have, when the drink has been taken, do people think clearly enough to think, if I go on the pitch, we might be deducted 10 points next season? Well, I mean, the people aren't doing it particularly with a clear head most of the time. Well, they're not the ones that instigate. Because what's happened is, a bunch of people do it and they think, I'll just go on as well then. I think, there's people that are the sort of ringleaders of it and everybody else follows. That's the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do agree. Something has to be done because it is becoming a thing.
It's not an idea.
No one's particularly enjoying it. Anyway, great to hear you talk about the mighty Newport Pagnell Football Club. Surprised you didn't know that Newport Pagnell is home of Aston Martin. I didn't. I don't know a great deal about Newport Pagnell at all. Apart from, of course, the service station. Although your comparison to Vegas is a good one. You'd be lucky to make it safely through a weekend on the beers there. It sounds like the party capital of that part of the world, according to Nick. So,
okay, fair enough.
If you're looking to go away for a short break, why not try Newport Pagnell?
Yeah, good idea.
No,
why
not? It's not. Well, it might be. It might be, Andy, yes. Anything else?
The court circular. I've got a fantastic way of describing stuff. The Lord Sharp of Epsom, Lord in Waiting. Perfect job. Was present at Heathrow Airport, that's where he's the Lord of Waiting, this morning, upon the arrival of the President of the Oriental Republic of Uruguay.
Wow.
Really?
Never knew that. So you've got to be there waiting for him, if that's your job. Do you have to hold up a card?
Why can't he just be the president of Uruguay? Why has he got to be the president of the Oriental Republic of Uruguay?
Well, that's obviously his full... That's what it says on his business card, Andy. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
And the bloke who got permission to put Welcome to Luton under the flight path to Gatwick, do you see this fella?
Really?
Yeah. He said...
To freak people out as they land.
He has permission for the words to be there for 6 weeks. And people said one woman got into a panic, thought she'd flying into the wrong place and had left her car at Gatwick. It's not a great joke, is it, really? I can't see the point of it. How did he get permission to do it?
No idea, Andy. Don't take out with me.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. The Talk Sport Clips of the Week.
from 2009, September 2009, and not sort of a hand curated selection. Warts and all, these are. This is why they're clips of the week pewter. We couldn't call them gold. We've dusted them off for you though. And we bring you a little selection as we do every Monday. We've not heard these since 2009, yeah. Have we, Andy?
You're distancing yourself quite a lot
I'm
from
not
them.
Distancing myself. Well, no, I'm not, because we're not promising 12 classics, 12 right, bangers.
Fair enough.
I mean, we trust the producer, well, to an extent. So we'll see what he's come up with.
Okay.
And where should we start, Andy?
I think we should start with a bit of trademark Alan Brazil describing a goal.
Good goal Lennon got. I have been critical sometimes of Aaron Lennon, but he just danced inside. Bang!
Yeah. Bang! It was very much the Alan Brazil. Bang! I thought there was always a quiz show in that. Or what was the missing word Alan replaces with? Bang! Sticking with trademark Big Alan, here he is with a quick question.
Tony, crikey. It's so difficult, isn't it? You know, we spoke to Brian Horton at Hull, and, you know, they stayed up with the skin of their teeth. They're over in China. They're working hard to try and find a goal scorer. Goodness me. I mentioned Dean Ashton earlier. Goal scorers. And it looks like centre-halves at the moment are limited. You know, top-class centre-backs. Tottenham in trouble at the moment through injuries. Do you have to look abroad, Tony, or do you try and plunder the leagues below?
Just a quick question,
it
of
was,
course.
Really, yeah,
yeah, it's a quick question.
I don't know who Tony was, but I think he's gone.
Could have been Cass.
Could have been, yeah. Staying with questions, here's one from technology correspondent Mike Parry.
To get onto Twitter, do you need a special machine?
Yeah, mobile phone, I think they're called. They're all the rage, Mike. I think even you've got one now. Over to Stan Collymore now, watching Middlesbrough.
It doesn't look like too many goals elsewhere in the team, does it?
Well, Alphonso Alves, $12 million to Middlesbrough last season. Couldn't it backdoor with a banjo?
You're going to ruin your banjo if you do that, really.
I suppose it was better than what the original say.
Yeah, it probably was. He just played safe, didn't he? Yeah.
I think it's safe to say, listening to this clip from a caller to Mike Parry, TalkSport was a very different place back in 2009.
Before cow's milk, you were having your mother's blood.
Yeah.
After your mother's blood, out you pop, and you have cow's milk, which is an in-between stage of weaning yourself into the vegetable kingdom.
The vegetable kingdom. Fantastic, yeah. But what about
it's very
Sydney
new restaurant
winning the title
in Hoxton,
yesterday?
Isn't it? Vegetable kingdom.
Yes. Some things definitely haven't changed, though. This is Alan again.
So it'll be interesting to see who Ipswich put out again. Posh.
Got John Walker.
Same league
as well,
by the way.
That's what Walker's got to say about Roy Keane's situation. John's coming on, isn't he?
Oh, is he? Walker's coming on. I'm not looking the last hour.
Okay.
No idea.
I always love it when Alan is surprised by what's coming up in the show. It's always a joy. Oh, I like him. I'm glad he's on. What's next?
Over to late night presenter George Galloway now with a bit of a TED moment.
Women's educational and economic independence and opportunities correlate with
Jane,
a lower
Jane, can I have a word in edgeways?
Jane, Ted, it was a bit of the Ian Collins. You imagine if they were married to each other, Jane and Ted, marvellous. This is a caller to Mickey Quinn on Weekend Breakfast.
Jim, I, a lot of baloney what Wenger's come out to say about a Scottish conspiracy and all that. I mean, I'm not having that whatsoever. Has Tony Mowbray up there said anything else?
I'm no up in Glasgow.
Oh, you're not up in Glasgow, no?
No, I'm in Putney.
Oh, okay, fair
enough.
Isn't
I'm no finish, he's only 28. He is, it's the same fella.
You think it's him,
yeah,
dear?
I do, yeah.
Okay, well, fair enough. You could well
it's
be
the same
right.
Same thing, I'm not in Glasgow, I'm in Putney.
Yes.
This is former Arsenal defender Nigel Winterburn on Breakfast talking UEFA.
We just can't make up a law for when a referee sees it now, and later on, you know, if they don't see it, and UEFA get on their high heels.
UEFA on their high heels. That'd be fantastic. One for RuPaul. Back to Mike Parry on ecclesiastical matters.
Now then, Pope John the Paul flew into Coventry Airport.
Pope John the Paul. Fantastic. Yes. Next, Andy.
It's racing expert Derek Tomo Thompson on Breakfast talking about a special race.
Lovely story at Epsom today. The 325 race is the Steve Donohue handicap, named after one of the great jockeys of the last century. And there's a jockey riding the race called Steve Donohue. Well, he's Steve Donohoe, but we call him Steve Donohue. So,
why? It's not his name, Tom.
Yeah, what's the point?
Just making it up. Well, we call him. And this is Danny Kelly taking a call.
Here's David in Leighton. Hello, Dave.
Hello. Sorry, just poured boiling tea over my hand.
Oh,
what a great
quarter
of the decade.
Well, thanks for your call. It's £100 worth of Wix vouchers. And some, anyway, finally,
we mentioned TalkSport was a different place back in 2009. Well, here's a caller to Adrian Goldberg on Overnights.
I just want to give a couple of bars of Elvis.
Go on then, quickly.
Oh, yeah, okay. Getting to my character now, yeah. I told her to leave me alone, but that's what she done. That's what she done.
And that was him in the character of Elvis. Imagine what it would have been like if he hadn't gone into character.
Britain's worst Elvis impersonator.
It takes some doing. I mean, most people can have a tilt at an Elvis impersonation, can't they? You can sing an Elvis song in the style of Elvis and just about get away with it. But I'm not sure he did. I wonder if he's perfected it since 2009. Ross. Call Paul Ross overnight and get in the character again, mate. We'd love to hear from you. So there we are, some clips of the week, Pewter, from back in 2009. We'll try and dust off a few more if we can next week.
Good. I've got an interesting stat for you.
Oh, yeah.
About Chelsea, actually. They are the first Premier League side to go through an entire season never having been behind at half-time. So they are, in fact, Matt Scott would claim this, the first half invincibles.
Yeah, fantastic. So that will allow all Chelsea players from now on to be described as the first half invincibles.
I think so.
And that'd be good,
wouldn't
it?
It's an amazing stat.
Joining us now on the show, Mason Mount, of course, one of Chelsea's infamous first half invincibles. You can keep it going, Andy.
Yeah, I know.
Your mugs, T-shirts.
Fantastic, isn't it?
It'd be good. That's an interesting stat. I would never have known that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, we're going to salute the two clubs that came up to the National League via the North and South playoffs. York City, of course, a great old club. They are back. David Anisha said, can you acknowledge York City? I know you're talking Dorking. But they were the most harshly treated club post-COVID, despite being long-standing clear leaders.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so well done to York City. But we are going to focus on Dorking because it is quite the story in a club we really don't know much about. They have an interesting setup in terms of ownership. The manager is the owner. We'll be chatting to him very shortly, Mark White. But let's bring you the end of that game as it unfolded between Dorking and Ebbsfleet.
Only one person in the box. Three people in the box, please. Someone go far post. Go on. Nice football.
Alfie Rutherford scored for Dorking.
3-2. Dorking Wanderers.
Referee blows his whistle. And Dorking Wanderers are promoted to the National League. Unbelievable.
Our old mate Crackers was at the game and he said it was
that
like...
That sounded like Crackers, actually.
You know, he said it was Ajax times 10. He said it was an amazing game of football. Grown men sobbing with joy, he told us.
Oh, brilliant.
Mark White is the owner of the club and indeed the manager. Good afternoon, Mark.
Hello, boys.
Congratulations, first off. I'd like to know a little bit more about the club. I mean, you've not been established that long, have you?
No, 1999, 22 years. And we started as a bunch of friends. We just for a kickabout, put a fiver in and hired a pitch for 50 quid. That's how it started.
Wow.
I mean, was there a point that it started to become more than that? I mean, when you started to take it seriously. And how many leagues ago was that, would you say? How many leagues have you had to go through to get to this point?
Well, we've had the Saturday was our 12th promotion. So it's 12 in 22 seasons.
Wow, impressive.
To be honest... Yeah, we, if I'm honest with you, we just sort of made up. We went along, really. Just got sort of, we kept winning and we wanted to keep trying to progress. So we'd add things to the ground and we've built two grounds in the last sort of 20-odd years, all done with willing volunteers, no benefactors, and a bit of a unique story, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, there must come a point when you realise it's getting serious. When was that point? When was the, you thought, blimey, okay, well, you know, this is quite a commitment financially and et cetera, et cetera. Was there a moment when you realised you were a sort of serious football club and not just a bunch of mates having a kick about?
Yeah, you kind of get to like what's called the county league and that sort of step five football. And we've just gone into step one. So that would have been 7, 8, 9 years ago, really. And then, yeah, then it all gets a bit more serious. But to be honest with you, we still have a lot of fun with it, notwithstanding your point, which is we have to work out where the money's coming from now.
Mm. And the income from the National League, is it, I presume it is higher than where you've been?
Yeah, it's going to be higher. It's got a TV deal, etc. So it's higher. Obviously, the attendances go up naturally. I mean, that club now arguably has got bigger club. That league's got bigger clubs than the EFL Division Two, really. Mm. If you look at the Chesterfields, Wrexhams, and Halifaxes, and there's some massive clubs in there, Oldham Athletic. So yeah, so things do go forward for you as you keep progressing. We found that over the years, you know.
So what about balancing the role of manager and owner and chairman? I mean, I suppose it makes the manager fairly unsackable. We haven't had a vote of confidence against the manager any time recently, I wouldn't think.
No. If we don't get promoted, what I do every year is sack one of the management team just to make myself feel better.
Yeah.
But no, obviously I've done it from day one when I was just collecting the subs. Mm. And I, to be honest with you, I've devoted a lifetime to this club, and I'm now surrounded by loads of great people on a non-exec volunteer level, and we share it all out between us. But yeah, I've still got the titles. I enjoy the managing, if I'm honest. That's what I've done and day dot and been good at. If I weren't good enough to do it, I think we've got enough fans now that they'd sack me, you know?
Yeah, of course, you'd know when your time was up if they didn't want you there.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, as Crackers was saying, it was quite a game, wasn't it? It was, you looked set to lose to Ebbsfleet, and then a flare, they scored, I think that put them 2-1 up, a flare was thrown onto the pitch, and that held things up and added quite a lot of injury time. You equalised in injury time at 99th minute and then went on to win in extra time, so pretty dramatic stuff.
Yeah, the gods are out, really. It's one of those. I asked the ref how long was left. He said 5 seconds was what he had.
Wow. And that's the goal. Was that the winner? I think it was the winner we heard there, wasn't it, in the commentary?
No, that was the one you heard was to take it to extra time.
The late equaliser.
The whole place erupted.
Right. Yeah, I'm not
surprised. I mean, I've never seen Cracker so emotional in my life.
Yeah.
But it was, we was out with a washing, and we rescued it out of nowhere. There was players, you know, someone was centre forward because his hamstring had gone, so we had to push him up front. It was like the old days, you know, playing on a Sunday, you know, it was unbelievable. But we got over the line and obviously felt a little bit bad for Ebbsfleet, and but for our club, it's phenomenal.
What about recruitment for next season? Because every club is sort of looking to strengthen, aren't they, over the summer?
And also, you've got that choice of going pro or not. I mean, there are clubs in the National League that are fully professional, but I suppose that's something you're not able to do at the moment, or is it?
Well, I think all of them are, bar maybe one or two. Mm. I'm not sure we will next year, because one of the big things beyond our success is we keep the same players. We only ever add in one or two a season. It's worked for us really well. At any one point, there'll be players in that team that have been there 4, 5, 6 seasons. There's a couple been there 7 or 8, and they've been part of it. So very much how we play and the success factors down to that. So I wouldn't want to, if you go full time, to your point, you've got to rip up that model. Some of them boys won't be able to do it. So we'll have to see what happens there. But we've always just felt it out as we've gone along, really. But it's a long way from when we played in Division 5 at the Crawley and District League.
Yeah. I mean, you know, one step away from, I mean, there's some big hitters there with a fair bit of money. Some of them may or may not still be in that league next season, depending on what happens in the playoffs.
But the mighty Torquay.
Yeah, the mighty Torquay, a trip to play more. Is there one game? It's interesting. I saw an Oldham fan earlier on railing against his club, thanking the ownership. I remember days of taking on Leicester and Manchester United. Now I've got to go to Dorking. And then maybe you want to pin that up on the dressing room. But, you know, there will be fixtures. I'm sure there's fixtures, Mark, that you're really looking forward to.
Yeah, I mean, there's loads of them. I mean, Chesterfield and York have both got new grounds. I mean, Oldham, ironically, probably want to look at those clubs because since they got relegated, they've sorted themselves out.
Mm.
Stockport as well, sorted themselves out, gone back up. Sometimes it's not a bad thing. But I think all of those ex-league clubs would be great for us because we were genuinely playing on a council pitch. So we play Southend in the FA Trophy this year. It's like a day trip for us. We never forget where we came from, and all the people involved have been here donkey's years, and you know, something we still have to sort of really wake up and remember every day where we come from.
And is Woking going to be the local derby?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, looks like it will be, you know. Woking, Dorking, yeah. Which is interesting. Really interesting.
What are we going to call that? Classic. We need a Classico derivative, don't we? Really? Yeah, yeah. We're going to need a version of that. We'll set your fans. We'll set. Yeah, Fletch is one of our team here is a big Woking fan, so we'll set you guys to work to come up with what we're going to call the local derby.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We asked you what the Woking Dorking derby should be called. The Classic King says, I think you come up with the best one, Andy. El Surico. I quite like that one. What about, says Paul the Liverpool fan, the A25/A320 derby? Rolls off the tongue. Matthew said, why not call it the King Derby? I'm thinking that could be misconstrued.
Yeah, I thought of that.
You're going
I thought,
to the no, King Derby? I don't need for bad really language.
Yet. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We will do it all again tomorrow. I'm with Charlie Baker tomorrow. Andy will be back on Wednesday. Do hope you can join us from 1. If not, the podcast will be available around 4 o'clock.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.